Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Today's call, we're going to talk about you're not surprised at seven. We're going to talk about the seven laws of success. You know, someone, honey, asked me recently if I always waited to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, if we did, as to what we were to share on each day's call. Answer is yes. We have ideas, but if we're not peaceful, if it doesn't seem to flow, then we know it's not the Holy Spirit.
And at times he says, wait, not today.
He has done that for sure.
Yeah.
I love how the Holy Spirit can give you something fresh on a particular topic, time and time again. Joshua 1:8, we're all familiar with it.
Yep.
Classic Amplified Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely, have good success.
Hallelujah.
So let's talk about the seven laws of success.
Amen. Number one, the law of faith. Our success in life on every level is going to be a direct proportion to our faith. In Matthew 9:29, this is what Jesus said. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And personally, we like the Living Bible because it just gets down where you're living. It says, then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen.
Wow.
Because of our faith, it will happen. There are, people who can short circuit their plans for success because they have a fear of failure that tends to hold them back. Look, 2 Timothy 1:7, this is in the Classic Amplified Bible, says, for God did not give you a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Never be afraid to say, hey, this is what I'm walking under. Not the fear that the enemy wants to throw my way. You
Absolutely.
Do not have to submit to the devil's fear. Fear and faith can't live in the same house. Either one or the other dominates and is going to be in control of our mental thought processes, our actions and reactions. And let me tell you this, over this horrible Texas killing, what you feed lives and what you starve dies. It's okay to know facts, but then flush it with the word of God, knowing that the enemy is only going to be feeding the news media the very worst that comes out. Pray for these people, but don't let fear make you think that everybody in the whole United States is going to have that happen to them. You know, fear is the devil's anointing. It produces it takes faith out of our minds from the word, but we have to have all the faith that we can get. You need to feed it. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I mean, to be successful, we need to be hearing and hearing and hearing and continually feasting on the word of God. That's one of the basic reasons we do this every morning for you.
That's exactly
the law
right.
of faith operating in your lives is crucial. Don't go into the day without filling your heart full of
Absolutely.
Faith.
Absolutely. Number two, the law of confession. Proverbs 18:21, Message Bible. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose.
You choose.
Just as God spoke the world into existence, God placed great authority in our tongues. Matthew 12:36-37, Contemporary English Version. I promise you that on the day of judgment, everyone will have to account for every careless word they've spoken. On that day, they will be told that they're either innocent or guilty because of the things they've said.
That ought to make all of us on occasion go, Lord, I pray for crop failure. And we need to be speaking for
it. Matthew 12:36 in the Message Bible says in part, words are powerful.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
And amen.
And one more thing. Your words empower or disable the devil.
That's right.
Your words have magnetic power. They will draw to your life thoughts and actions that have the power to shape your destiny. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, Classic Amplified. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth and with the consequence of his words. He must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for death or life. Like I said, we both have said, our words have consequences, and the enemy is ever ready to exploit anything you say. 1 Peter 5:8. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Now, according to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for seeking is G2212, and is defined as to seek in order to find. How will the enemy find you? He'll be listening for your voice.
Think of that. Number three, the law of forgiveness. Several years ago on one of the Rich Thoughts for Breakfast conference calls, we pointed out that Strong's Concordance, the word repent in there, is more properly translated as change your mind. So in Acts 3:19, think of this now as I read the Classic Amplified Bible. So repent, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. God not only wants to forgive our sins, he forgives our sins, and we can forgive the sins of others.
Yes.
And that's what he allows us to do by grace. Matthew 6:14, Classic Amplified says, for if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This law is simple but profound. When we forgive, so does God.
Number four, the law of reciprocity. Reciprocity is defined in dictionary.com as a mutual exchange. I call this law, if you do this, God will do that.
Yay.
Have you ever noticed that when he gives a promise, he most always gives a warning to those who fail to obey? For instance, Deuteronomy 28:13, Classic Amplified. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you heed commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and are watchful to do them. Now, we love Deuteronomy 28:13, but we're not too happy about Deuteronomy 28:15. However, this verse is a part of God's law of reciprocity. Deuteronomy 28:15, Classic Amplified. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all the curses shall come upon and overtake you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Number five, the law of increase. In 1 Kings 17, the widow of Zarephath gave her food to the man of God, although her food supply was extremely scarce. But by doing so, she received food enough to last throughout the drought because God multiplied that seed that she had sown. The return that she received was not a lucky draw. It was a result of a direct application of God's law of increase, the widow gave her precious meal, and God returned to her an abundance of meal. He fulfilled the divine principle found in God's, in his own word, Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So the widow did not have a streak of good luck. She merely obeyed God's law of increase by giving the man of God what he asked for as a seed of her precious seed, a sowing of her precious seed, and God honored his word by bestowing increase in her life. In Matthew 13:23, it says, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is what he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. That's our kind of law. Amen, baby.
Number 6, the law of attraction. Here are 7 keys to the law of attraction. First, you attract positive and negative experiences based on your thoughts. Second, your focus makes the attraction inevitable. Third, always trust the Holy Spirit, not your emotions or circumstances. Fourth, you must see yourself as a magnet for success and rich thinkers. Fifth, create a confession about what or who you want to draw into your life. Sixth, don't allow yourself to wallow in temporary detours or defeats. Seventh, trust God that whomever and whatever he's drawing into your life is worth the wait and all the trouble. Now, we want to share with you 3 scriptures for the law of attraction. Mark 11:24. "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Hebrews 11:1. "Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Romans 4:17. "He is the Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were."
Number 7, the law of prosperity. 3 John 2, Classic Amplified. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers." Isaiah 48:15 says, "I, even I, have spoken, yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous."
Hallelujah.
The law of physics says that for every action, there is a reaction. If we keep God's commandments, his commands, what he's asked, we can expect the rewards that he's promised.
Magnificent.
I'm rewards. Telling you, magnificent beyond measure rewards. Psalm 84:11, Classic Amplified Bible. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows present grace and favor and future glory, honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly."
Hallelujah. So what's the future of those who take the Lord at his word, who activate the 7 laws of success? Job 36:11 says, "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures." Hallelujah and glory to God. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. I love it. I do. 7 keys to success. Well, we want you to have a wonderful weekend. And join us again Sunday morning at 8:30. In fact, every day at 8:30. And Sunday nights at 6 p.m. for Rich Thoughts TV. So until next time, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking, Rich Thoughts. We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.